The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord this morning. We extend a special bulletin, if you could fill that out today, all of you could fill that out, that will be collected during the offering this morning as the offering plate comes by. Our order of service today is Divine Service Setting Number 2. Found on page 167 in your hymnal. You can follow along with the order of service with this side tab that is found on your white bulletin, numbers and page numbers for this morning's service, as well as the bigger white insert. You will find the readings and the intro at Psalm for our service as well. Today is rally day for Sunday school. Sunday school and Bible class are kicking back into their fall schedule, and we will be installing our Sunday school teachers this morning, so after service today, you all are invited with any kids, grandkids, or whatnot to come to Sunday school. And to our adult Bible class, which is in the social hall this morning. Our Bible studies are kicking back up this week as well. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock in the social hall, we'll be going through C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Our first session on that is going to be kind of an introduction, so if you've not read it, or anything like that, don't kind of a plan for you all that with that. Wednesday morning, we will be studying free will in the social hall as well. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice!" Neighbors saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. This man eats with sinners. So said the tax collectors and the Pharisees about Jesus. So who are the sinners? Who is Jesus truly seeking out today that are sinners? Who would you define as the sinners amongst us? Is it the homeless guy down by the highway? Is it the drunk? Is it the wife beater? The drug addict, the one who grows marijuana up in North San Juan? Is it the terrorists who drive planes into buildings? Who do you talk about as sinners today? Who do you set up barriers and judgments around you, looking at people and saying, "I can't believe they live or act like this"? Is Jesus truly seeking for somebody like you? Is Jesus truly coming again? Is Jesus truly seeking out the worst of the worst in our community? Did Jesus truly die for Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Muhammad Atta, who we remember 15 years ago, unfortunately? Is he for them? Does he love them as much as he loves you? You and I are sitting here in church today, all nice and tidy and cleaned up, and we're singing all about these wonderful things that Jesus has come to do for us. And it oftentimes that we feel we are the ones who are better off than all of those who are not sitting in the church today, who are with us. So who is Jesus seeking out amongst the 99 or the 100? For him, he does not set up the boundaries and the barriers and the judgments of the Pharisees and the tax collectors and the Lutherans and everybody else today. For him, it's all of us. It's all the same. All of his creation, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are in need of rescue. All of us, every last one of us, from the members of ISIS to the people in the nursing homes who still cry out for relief from God. God wants all of us to be his children, no matter who you are, what you have done, no matter how far you have told God off, cursed him, told him to die already, no matter how poorly you have treated your neighbor, no matter how much you have despised his holy word that you have heard once again this day, he wants you to be his own. And so he acts like it towards you and the world. As we heard today, he comes for us and he searches for us and he does not give up. Even when you have given up on those around you, even when you have cast your judgmental stones against others, he does not give up searching for those that are lost. He searches in every nook and cranny in the world. He searches in the places that others like to hide, that others wish to avoid, that even we ourselves wish to carry on and not stop or help. So great is his desire to find those who are lost, to find you even in your sins, even though at times we may not act like we are sinning. And so great is his joy when he finds us. A joy that doesn't seem quite really like a reality to us. A joy that is kind of out of proportion, if you think about it, to the value of the thing that was lost. He finds great joy in finding sinners who repent. People who are busted and broken and torn down by the world, torn down by people like me and you, who've been given no hope. He finds joy in shedding his blood, dying and rising for them, just as much as he did for you. And who are we amongst the others in this world? He finds joy in giving out his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, the joy of pronouncing the words of eternal life, I forgive you. And where there is forgiveness, there is life everlasting. He doesn't do so grudgingly as some old white-haired, bearded man in the sky looking for obedience. He does it out of all fatherly, divine goodness and mercy to you and to me and to the world. And he delights in doing it. And so his delight and his joy is also shared by the angels and archangels and all of the company of heaven when even somebody like me or you repents. It's not something we do for him to please him. It's something that he brings about to us with the knowledge of repentance, with the knowledge of forgiveness and love and mercy. There are two things that are going on in our readings here today. The first is the truth of how Jesus looks at us and regards us. And the second is about how the great length of it is that he will go for us, even to death on the cross, taking our sins away. This you know, this you've been taught, this is what you hear day in and day out from the scriptures. It's what you hear from this pulpit. It's what our Sunday school teachers will be telling the kids over and over again this new Sunday school year. We can never hear it enough. And on top of that, Jesus finds great joy in finding us. Not happiness, joy. Joy that is talking about the idea that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter how far our world falls apart, no matter what buildings crumble down around us in the past or in the future, there is hope. Hope for you, hope for the greatest sinners amongst us, hope in Jesus. And that may be a little hard for us to understand, but that's why he gives us this parable today about things being lost and the great joy that we have when we find them. I have a wonderful crucifix that came from Constantinople. I was given to it by a seminary student who I house sat for when he was there. And I lost it about 4 or 5 years ago in South Carolina. And I tore my room, my closet, my cars all apart, and I couldn't find it. I gave up. But then one day I had to open up the rear hatch of my car to get out my spare tire. And I don't know how it got there, but there it was, sitting in the well of my spare tire. Forget the joy of being able to change the tire or anything else. I was rejoicing that I had found this crucifix. I lost it when I moved out here. I'm still looking for it. But there is great joy in finding those car keys, that phone, that crucifix, whatever else it is that you so highly value and prize. Somebody else in here may look at me and say, it's just a cross with Jesus on it. Get over it. But to me, this was something that I highly valued because I loved the way it looked and I loved where it came from, the story behind it all. People may not find value in you. The world may not find value in you. With what you've done and left undone and said and thought in your words and your deeds. But know this, Jesus finds absolute great value and joy in you today and every day. He gives you that immense love and mercy by seeking that which is lost and rescuing you, forgoing the 99, forgoing the rest of the wealth and riches as the woman did, to find you, the one lost sinner. And he picks you up, and he cleans you off in your baptism. He restores you with the words of eternal life. And this day, yes, he wishes to dine with sinners. You and me. Not looking down upon you in judgment, not looking down upon you with great anger or dismay, but looking on you with great joy and gladness. So much joy and so much gladness that the whole angels and archangels and company of heaven rejoice and echo his joy. The Pharisees and the scribes, they don't get it. Why would Jesus eat with them? Why would he care so much? Why rejoice in us, Jesus? Why not rejoice in us? They were the good, pious guys. Jesus wanted to rejoice in them too and forgive them too. But he sets up no labels or categories or boundaries or fences. He seeks the sinner in order to forgive. And we heard the saying from Paul this morning. The saying is a trustworthy and deserving of full of acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not specific sinners doing specific things, but all of us, the whole world. And even of Paul, who is the greatest pastor ever, said, I am the foremost of. Paul considered himself not even at the level of a tax collector, a prostitute, or a Pharisee, but beneath them as well, a sinner of sinners. But Jesus wanted him, really sinful Paul, really sinful Pastor Schaff, really sinful you. And he rejoices over you. And that made Paul rejoice in Jesus. And as it was for Paul, so it is for us. We might be the foremost of sinner, we might be the least of sinner, or somewhere in between, no matter what. To Jesus, you are a sheep, you are a coin, you are a decorative cross, you are a life worth dying and rising for, and he desperately seeks you out to clean you, to forgive you, to feed you this day. For this is all set up for you, the sinner, now declared a saint. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We invite our Sunday school teachers forward at this time.